Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
We're talking this month about receiving from God. Receiving from God. You know, I believe that it's a continuation of what we've been talking this past month of walking with God. Walking with God. Now, if you missed the message that I preached this past Sunday, I beg you, make a plan to go and watch it and soak it. 7 divine rewards for walking with God. It will bless you. It will empower you. It will raise expectation in your heart. Praise the Lord. Now you see, those are things that you are supposedly meant to receive if you walk with God. But now the challenge becomes, how do I access these rewards? How do I access them? Now, one thing I can tell you for sure, it's not possible to walk with God and not benefit something from walking with God. So as you walk with a person, usually you start enjoying the benefits of the walk with the person. And what I want to do this month is to really put in your hands the keys that will help you to start enjoying the walk. Not that you are walking with a very, very wealthy person and you are still struggling. You are with a healer, but you are still sick. You are with the job giver, and you are still jobless. The first person to ever employ man was God. So it's not that you are, that God has, his economy has run bankrupt, or maybe his power has reduced. No, 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 no. He is still almighty, all powerful. He is still Jehovah Jireh. He is still Jehovah Rapha. He is still Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Nissi. He is still everything that you've read about. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So nothing has changed as far as heaven is concerned, and nothing has changed as far as God is concerned. So the only thing that could be the missing link is, how do I get them from God's hands into my hands? How do I start benefiting from this relationship? Are you catching what I'm talking about? So I have discovered that a lot of believers are walking with God, but they don't know how to receive from God. You see, receiving from God is an art on its own. Such that if you don't know how to receive from God, you could be with God for a long time and still look like you are on your own. I'm very serious about this. I'm very serious about this. Like, you have to understand, walking with God is not, it doesn't mean automatically you're going to receive from God. You also have to learn how to receive from Him. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, let's look at just a few things that can help us. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23, Paul speaking says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass unto you." I received from the Lord. It is possible to receive from the Lord. I received from the Lord. Our title, the series is Receiving from God. How to receive from God. And Paul is saying here that there is something that he says he received from the Lord. Are you getting me? John 3:27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. So if heaven hasn't given it, you can't receive it. So you gotta learn how to receive from heaven. I know you've learned how to receive from men, from earth. But do you know how to receive from heaven? Because it's another realm. It's another dimension. You got to learn how to receive from there. Praise the Lord. Paul again in the book of 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive?" What do you have that you did not receive? Praise the Lord. So you can see clearly that receiving is part of what you do. When you get into God's family, when you start a journey with God, one of the things you have to become good at is how to receive from the Father. You have to learn how to receive from the Father. And I want to talk quickly this morning. This whole month, even on Swelling Sunday, I'll be showing you how, and I'll be telling the people, you see, because people don't know that God can give them. They are not aware that God can give them. Now, it is possible to walk with God and to never receive from God. And you see, this is something that happens on a daily basis. We come across, I mean, even you will, I can talk for myself. I mean, it's not everything that I want that I see. So you can clearly see there that there are things that need to happen before things are shifted from the hands of God into your hands and into my hands. You know, 1 Corinthians 4, 7 says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" You see, even the things that you are not aware that you receive, you actually receive them. That's why we shouldn't be proud of anything that is in our lives. Because actually, everything that you see around you, be it your children, be it your house, you received it. Don't be the person that says, "No, I work for this." You actually, he says, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Even the one that you think it is the product of your own effort, it's actually the grace of God that brought it your way. Hallelujah. So this man, by the grace of God, we want to learn how to receive from God so that we can have more things. He said, "What do you have that you did not receive?" So if you can learn to receive, guess what? You will have more. There will be more things in your life that you will be able to point out to. So the purpose of this series, by the grace of God, is to place in your hands this morning and throughout this month the keys that unlock this secret of receiving from God. Hallelujah. Come with me this morning quick in the book of James chapter 1 from verse 5. The Bible here says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding faults, and it will be given to you." Praise the Lord. "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." So you see, we are talking this month about receiving from the Lord. And you are now being told about a person that should not expect to receive from the Lord. What does that tell you? Apparently, the person is hoping and believing something is coming. They are actually currently expecting that something is going to come. Yet they are not aware that they shouldn't even expect, because it's not coming. They shouldn't expect. He says such a person is double-minded and stable in all they do. This morning, if you can allow me, I want us to talk a little bit about this person. Let's talk about this person that should not expect to receive from God. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to be such a person. The Bible says that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. I want to keep my expectations alive, expecting to receive from the Lord. Who is this person that should not expect to receive from the Lord? Number one, the person who doesn't know what he lacks. The person who doesn't know what he or she lacks. You see, it seems obvious, but it is not. The Bible says here in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom. Do you have a record of people that constantly said, you know me, I don't have wisdom. I don't think I have wisdom. Do you see people going around talking like that around you? Everybody think they are wise. As a matter of fact, if you tell somebody that I think you are not wise, they will see it as a big insult. They will think that you are insulting them. What does that tell you? Everybody around you think they are wise. They think they know. Like, I mean, wisdom is you think you know. Therefore, let's be honest this morning. How many of you constantly pray for wisdom? You know why you don't pray for wisdom? Answer. You think you know. You think you are wise. That's why you don't. I mean, do you pray for what you have? You only pray for what you don't have. If you have something, do you pray for it? Exactly. So, a lot of us, the reason why we might fall in the category of the person who should not expect to receive from them. And I really pray that you don't fall in that category. That's why we need to look at what can cause a person to fall in that category. That he can go around expecting. Meanwhile, there's nothing coming. Why? You don't know what you lack. There's a young man that met Jesus one day, and he said something that I think we should learn from. In Matthew 19, verse 20, you see, the Bible says, all these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? What do I still lack? That's a very profound statement. That he was not assuming that everything is in place. He was ready to learn if there's something he lacks. What do I still lack? This is the mind of a person that should expect to receive something from God. He is more aware that maybe there are things I'm not getting right. And there are people today who don't know what they lack. They don't know that they lack something. They are not aware that actually I lack this. That's why they don't mention it. They don't mention it. Do you know the things you lack? Do I know the things I lack? I mean, think about it. Think about it. So this is one thing that will happen to a person who should not expect to receive from God. He doesn't know what he lacks. He doesn't know that he lacks this. He lacks this. She lacks this. You think about it. There are people that don't realize that they lack a good friend. So they will never ask for a good friend. They will never pray to God, Lord, give me a good friend. They don't realize they lack it. Yeah. There are people who don't know that they lack training. Like you lack training. You're trying it, but you are lacking training. You need to be trained. You lack training. Some people lack correction. You lack it. Some people lack a good and a positive attitude. They don't know that that's the missing thing. That's what they lack. What do I still lack? For you to be able to receive from God, you should first be willing to see what you lack. There are marriages that lack love. There are marriages that lack honesty.
Now in this marriage, we cannot be honest with each other. We always have to pretend to be happy. We lack something. Do we know what we lack? We'll keep praying, Father, bless us in this marriage with a new car. Father, we pray for a new TV in this marriage. But you see, you lack honesty in the marriage. You are lacking something very profound, but you are not even aware of it. Are you catching what I'm saying today? Yes. So for you to not fall in that category of those who lack, of the category of those who should not expect to receive from God, number one, be aware of what you lack. Number two, the person who doesn't ask God. You don't ask God. You see, when you come back to the verse, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. He should ask God. You see, that's the point. You should ask God. You should ask God. Why? Because it's possible to ask everybody else except God. We are addressing prayerlessness at this point. That it's possible that you don't have because you don't ask God. James 4:2. You want what you don't have. So you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have. But you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. You don't ask God for it. You know why? Because God is not the only giver. Satan is a giver. If you come to Matthew 4:8-9, again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you. I will give you. God is not the only giver. Satan is telling Jesus, all these things I will give you. Why is it that people don't ask God? Because God is not the only giver. So don't assume that you will only ask God. Maybe people don't ask God, maybe for other reasons. Satan is telling God here, all this, he's telling Jesus, all these things I will give you. I'm a giver also. He says, only condition, fall down and worship me. Hard work is a giver. Just working hard. Hard work can give you something. Proverbs 20:13. If you love sleep, you will end up in poverty. Keep your eyes open and there will be plenty to eat. So you know what people do? They don't ask God. They just keep their eyes open. They keep their eyes open. Yeah. Proverbs 14:23, all hard work brings profit. It doesn't say that God brings, it says all hard work brings profit. So if you work hard, there will be profit. That's why people don't ask God. However, I want to submit to you that even though God is not the only giver, God remains the best giver. You see, when Satan is giving you, he's asking you to worship him. What he's taking from you will always be more than what he's giving you. When hard work is giving you, hard work will take your family from you. Hard work will take your children from you. Hard work will take peace from you. It will take so many things from you. By the time it gives you what you want, it has taken everything else from you. Especially hard work without the blessing of God. So God remains the best giver. Hallelujah. Psalm 127:2. It is useless for you to wake up to work so hard from early in the morning until late in the evening, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. God is not the only giver, but God is the best giver. That's why you should ask God. Hallelujah. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, so who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift. Who is the person who should not expect to receive from God? Number three, the person who doesn't believe. If you come back to our verse there, he says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. He must believe and not doubt. He must believe and not doubt. Who is the person who should not expect to receive from God? The person who does not believe. The person who doubts. Are you here? Now, how do you know that you are believing? I'm just going to use one verse to show you what it means to believe. Matthew 9:27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? You see, that's faith. Do you believe that I am able to do this? So when we say that, believe and don't doubt, what we are saying there is that when you are asking for something, believe that God is able to do it. He is asking the two blind people, do you believe that I, Jesus, I am able to do this? Do you believe I am able to give you a job? Do you believe I am able to give you a wife? Do you believe I am able to give you a land? Do you believe I am able to help you pass? Do you believe I am able to do this? That's faith. Faith is not just I believe. Do you believe that God can do it? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Hallelujah. And their sight was restored. Listen, your job shall be restored. Your blessing shall be restored because you believe Jesus is able to do it. You believe it. Now, you see, another thing that I've learned from scripture is that it's possible to even pray and say, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe you can do it. Meanwhile, you don't believe you can do it. Meanwhile, you don't believe. You see, you remember the story, Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, and this man came with his son to the disciples to pray for his son. As they start praying for his son, they can't heal his son. Then Jesus has to come. When Jesus comes, then Jesus asks the man, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him in the fire and in the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. That's what he said. If you can. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. This is somebody who walked miles and miles away with his son to bring him to Jesus. And now he's asking Jesus to help him if Jesus can. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked him. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe. Please help me overcome my unbelief. So you see, he says, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And to go to kiss. Yes, yes, it's possible to believe God can, but at the same time, you're having your doubts. The person that really believes is the person that cannot, he doesn't say if you can, he say when you will. Not if you can, when you will. Like, I know you are doing it. You are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King,
We know that our God is able to deliver us from this thing. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we'll never change our mind about him. We know that he can do it. That is a person that believes. You are like Abraham, Romans 4, 20-21. Abraham never wavered in his believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger. In this, he brought glory to God. The Bible says he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And that is the conviction that you and I should have. Hallelujah. Let's check the last one before we close this morning. What is the thing that will make a person to not expect to receive anything from God? A person who is double-minded. Double-minded. James 1:8. Such a person is double-minded and stable in all they do. Double-mindedness. You are asking, but you are double-minded. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm going to show you something. I know that there are many things that can be responsible for a person being double-minded. But you see, I feel personally that there's nothing that brings double-mindedness in your heart about God's ability to... It's not that you doubt that God can really do it. You understand? Like, it's not that you really... It's not like you have a belief that, hey, God has become weak. Like, hey, man, the power of God has been reducing. It's like, if maybe you are driving a car. You are driving a car. When you start driving, you see the fuel is full. All right? So you are 100% sure you are reaching your destination. Isn't it? Then let's say you miss your way. Then you end up driving to some funny places for a very long time. Then you finally got on the road. You understand? By the time you got on the road, GPS is saying you are 4 hours away from reaching your destination. But your fuel is now just quarter to finishing. You see, all of the sudden you start having doubt if your car can take you to the destination. But when you started earlier, you had full faith that your car can take you to the destination. But because you can see how the fuel is reducing, your faith in the car also starts reducing. And you start feeling, I don't think this car can get me there. So you start getting worked up, you start getting agitated and all of those things. Do you understand? But you see, with God, it's not like that. I mean, I hope not for you. I don't think there's ever been a day where you saw the strength of God reducing. Where you could see this. I mean, there was a day God looked very strong. And then another day you say, hey, the strength of God, God is growing old. Hey, the strength is reducing. So all of a sudden, you are no more having faith in God. Are you that type of person? Like, have you ever found yourself like, you feel, hey, you know, this thing that has come now. Hey, I don't think God is able to handle it. Double-mindedness is connected to two things. Number one, it is a new experience for you. Like, it is new to you and for you. So, you haven't seen God take you through something like that before. So, all of the sudden, hey, you need the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That even though I haven't gone through the furnace, I know that God who took me, I mean, like David, God delivered me from the lion, God delivered me from the bear. So, I know that even this giant, God can also take him out. So, if you don't have that type of a faith, if you are like Thomas, that you must first see God take you through it, then you believe, okay, God can also take me through this one. Then you start having a problem right there. Are you catching me? The second reason why you could be double-minded is because there's something going wrong with you. Like you as a person. And I want to talk about self-condemnation. By far, self-condemnation is what causes you to become a bit unsure. It's not that you are not sure that God is strong. Do you understand? It's not like you don't believe that God can do it. No. Like, you know God is powerful. The thing that you are not just sure where you and God are standing currently.
And you are not sure if he's still willing and eager to help you now because you are feeling there's something wrong you've done. A mind that is under condemnation will become double-minded. When you are under condemnation, you can be double-minded because it's a new experience, and you remember the lion and the bear, but you're not sure about Goliath. But it could also be because you are feeling condemned because of something you feel you've done, and you feel your connection and your fellowship with God has been broken. Therefore, you feel you don't have his backup anymore. Are you here? What is a man that is under condemnation? Psalm 51 verse 3. I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Always before me. Condemnation comes because you keep being reminded of the thing. So it weakens your confidence in God. You know that you are under condemnation when you are expecting more a punishment from God than a help from God. Like where you are now, you know that, hey, here, it's more. I know that there will be more of a problem. Like I know something wrong is coming for me. Then you know that you are currently, your mind is under condemnation. And a mind that is under condemnation will be double. So for some time you would think, no, God might help. But hey, I don't think if God is going to help. But, hey, because, you know, I know, you know this thing that I've done. Hey, you know this thing that I still remember. Hey, I'm not, see, so condemnation. Condemnation will actually move you to a state of double-mindedness. You start expecting a punishment from God more than a relief from God. More than you expect God to save you, you actually think that God will join himself with the devil to really deal with you. Like God will say to the devil, you know what, leave this, leave, move aside, let me deal with this guy. So that's when your mind is under condemnation, you become double-minded about God, about the power of God, about the help from God. Everything you start, you are no more confident. And it starts affecting you. Are you catching me? Luke 5, 7 to 8. If we just go straight, I think, to verse 8. When Simon realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." Now, this is quite surprising because Jesus had just miraculously brought fish for him. Like a big miracle had happened. And I asked myself, Peter, don't you think Jesus knew that you are a sinful man before he did the miracle of giving you all these fish? But when Peter sees the fish and the miracle, he's reminded of his sin. And the only thing he wants, that God must go away from him. Do you think such a person can ask help from God? Even after God has helped you, you are asking him to go away because you are sinful. Do you think that such a person, when he has a need, he will call God? He's under condemnation. He's under condemnation. Another person that was living under condemnation is the young man by the name of Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel 9, 7. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul. And you will always eat at my table." Look at all this. All this is being said to you without you doing anything. Mephibosheth bowed down and said,
What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? You see, when he calls himself a dead dog, somebody might say, no, he's being respectful, he's being humble. But you know that this, the way Mephibosheth kept seeing himself as a dead dog, he ended up not lasting in the house of David. He didn't last in the house of David. So as I close, I want to help you address this condemnation. See, this problem of condemnation that constantly weaken our confidence in God, our trust in God. Like we just start going with motions, but we don't have that fiery Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego type of confidence that I know God is going to help me. How can I help you this morning? Number one, I want to take you back to James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask who? God. Look at the very next line. Who gives generously to all without finding fault. Don't forget that part. He gives generously without finding fault. Even as I'm reading it to you now, I hear the devil says to me, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. It's like our minds have been cooked. That even when you read it black and white, Satan says, it's not under, read it well. He's not saying that really, he's not. That's what he's saying here. He gives generously to all, including you. Meaning, even when God has to give to you, he does it generously. Then when God is giving you, he does it without looking first if there are fault or not fault. Hey. I said, as I'm reading this, I'm hearing the devil is saying to me, don't say such things. Like, Satan, I'm going to say this thing. I need to say this. I'm reading the Bible here. I'm going to say this thing. Don't say it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. It says it without finding fault. And you know, as I'm making this statement, those of us that Satan has already hijacked your mind with condemnation, you can't receive this. You know what you can receive? You can receive God will check first. He will leave every carpet. He will check everywhere. When everything is clean, then God will give you. A condemned person listening to me this morning say, amen, amen. That's the one. That's God. I know that's God. Let me read it again. If anyone lacks wisdom, if anyone lacks a job, if anyone lacks healing, if anyone lacks peace, remove wisdom and put anything you lack there. I told you already that if you're going to go far with God, know the things you lack. If anyone lacks anointing, you should ask God who gives generously. Generously. Can you believe it for a second? I know it might be so difficult to believe it because Satan has been working on us. God gives under a lot of conditions. And God gives in proportion to your righteousness. Generously. And God only gives to special people. Generously to all. Without finding fault. Here we are addressing condemnation. We are addressing condemnation without finding fault. Because the person who comes to God is usually more aware of his faults than he is aware of the generosity of God. So when he comes, the faults are pulling him. I feel the devil is fighting me. As I'm trying to read this thing, I tell you, he's fighting me. We're gonna say these things. Maybe somebody is going to be delivered today, actually, through this. Yeah. It gets worse. Like David had even a deeper understanding of this whole thing. And this is where I want to end with you. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. Verse 9. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. Verse 10. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Look, a condemned mind right now is saying, Pastor, no. Pastor, I don't think so. You see, that's the problem. You are going with what you feel, or you are going with what the Bible is saying here. I think all of us that are dealing with condemnation, we should do a quiet time on Psalm. You must do your quiet time on James 1:5 the whole week. And you must do your quiet time on Psalm 103 verse 8 to 14 the whole week. NLT version, TPT, like go to those versions. Like you must be in these two. Just be there. Because until you can get a change of mind, you will not be confident in believing that God can do it for you. You will come to God with a heart full of faults. It's a God says, I don't give you, when I give you, I don't give you with looking at your faults. And David, who was not with James, is repeating the same thing. He says, he does not punish us for our sins, nor does he deal harshly with us as we deserve. 11. For his unfailing love towards us, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the high of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. My God. Here am I, Satan is saying, no, you've done this. He is saying he has removed your sins. He has removed your sins. Man, I feel so much condemnation. I feel the spirit of condemnation. He's been hanging on us. He's been hanging on us. That's why we are not confident to receive from God. And we are like David, we are like Peter. Even when God has given, condemnation is so much that we can't even enjoy it. We are more aware that we are a sinful person that we can, instead of even saying, Lord, thank you for this fish, he rather saying, Lord, please, I don't think you should be here. Please, just go away. I'm a very sinful person. You can't even enjoy the blessing of the Lord. Because this guilt consciousness, this condemnation consciousness is just messing us up. Look, you know that you have a condemned mind when you are constantly feeling God is not happy with you. You are constantly feeling that, hey, maybe you've messed it somewhere. Like you are more constantly feeling that than you feel that God loves you. You feel more than God is angry than you feel like God is happy and God loves you. Who am I talking to? Like you feel more that God is angry for something that, you know, so you are constantly checking your life back and forth. You are always, like you are under condemnation. The condition that your mind is under is called the condition of a condemned mind. You are finding faults. That's why when you come to God, you are double-minded. You are not sure if God will really give it to you. Not because you are doubting the power of God, but you are doubting your stand with God. You are doubting your stand with God. But the Lord says, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Say with me, I believe. Yeah. I just believe. I believe this. I believe. Guys, let's do a quiet time on this. This calls for a quiet time. This. We must do a quiet time here. Every ABC member, let's do a quiet time on this. And let's tackle the issue of condemnation this month. As the main thing Satan is using to cause us to not receive all these wonderful things that God wants to give us. Verse 13. The Lord is like a father to his children. Man, I am a father. And I understand what this means. The problem is, I don't think me and God are like this. Yeah, when it comes to my children, he says, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Tender and compassionate. Father, help me receive this. Help me believe this. That you are tender. You are not hard like a rock. You are not a punisher. You are tender and compassionate. I want this to enter deep into your spirit. He is tender and compassionate. Tender and compassionate. Verse 14. For he knows how weak we are. You see, we are the only people who think we are strong. We think we are so strong. But he knows how weak we are. Hey, I'm so happy that God doesn't know how strong I am, but God knows how weak I am. What a blessing that your father knows your weakness. Not that I'm encouraging weaknesses. Do I sound to you like I'm encouraging weaknesses here this morning? What I'm rather trying to deal with is these deceptions. That Satan wants to make you believe that the bar God has for you is so high. That every time, you see, that's the problem, is that Satan has caused you to believe that, you know, God expects 100%, God expects 200% from you. So every time you make a small mistake, it's like God is so disappointed. It's like God is so embarrassed. That's where the condemnation is coming from. That's where the condemnation is coming from. Because Satan has convinced you that God is expecting perfection from you every minute. But the Bible says God knows how weak we are. It doesn't say he knows how weak we were. As if now it has changed. He remembers we are only dust. We are only dust. You see, this is going to help you. As I feel it's helping me. To stop trying to deserve it. Because that's why when you get it, you can't even thank him because you think you got it. And that's where the boasting comes from that Paul is talking about. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast? You know why people boast? Because they don't think they received it. They think they work for it. They think that it is their might and it's their power that gave it to them. Thank you, Father, for your word. Now he says that if in John, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from a few sins. From some of the sins. From what? All sins. All sin. Now, if you take your clothes, you get your clothes washed, and your clothes are dry, you still see dirt in your clothes. But you know how we are. The blood of Jesus is cleansed from all sin. We are still seeing the sin. The blood of Jesus is cleansed from, you are still seeing. You see why? It's not that the sin is there. It's that the sin is in your mind. That's where the problem is. The problem is that your mind hasn't been renewed. So your mind continues to see and believe the sin is there, even though the sin has been washed. That's where the problem is. There's no sin in you, sir. The sin is in your mind consciousness. And that's why you are double-minded about receiving from God. It is affecting your receptivity and my receptivity. Now, that is 1 John 1:7. So he now felt echo. Maybe some people sit on it. So he goes to 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, because I get it, even though he says the sin has been washed away, he says, I still feel something. I still think there's something here. It's okay. If you, because you see, you're just supposed to walk in the light. If you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus is cleansing you. You don't have to confess anything. The blood of Jesus just cleanses you as you go. But because the sin consciousness, this is a revelation God is giving me right now as I'm talking to you. Like that, verse 7, it says, if you just walk in the light, you will have the blood of Jesus cleansing all your sins without you even asking for them to be cleansed. They will just be, the blood of Jesus is just working continuously, cleansing you. But because your mind becomes aware of the things you did, and Satan, the accuser of the brethren, start condemning you, then your conscience begins to be affected. Then he says in verse 9, okay, because you are aware that you sin, even though the blood of Jesus has actually cleansed you, but you still feel you are not okay, so confess it then. Agree that you've done something wrong. So if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin without us. Unrighteousness without unrighteousnesses. You see, because it's really not the thing you did. It's how you are thinking. Are you catching it? Like, it's not that you did this. I'm not saying you shouldn't confess when you've done something wrong. But I'm telling you that the blood of Jesus is forever working to cleanse these things from our lives. But our conscience is where Satan comes and starts accusing. So Jesus made the second provision. Okay, you confess then. Like, agree that you've done it and then ask God to forgive you so that you can feel, okay, all right, so now I've let go. So, okay. But there's a higher level you can live with the understanding that the blood of Jesus is cleansing me as I'm moving. Do you know that there are things you do that are wrong? You don't even know you did them. Okay, so what about those ones? Because you're not even aware you did them. You see, that's why the blood of Jesus is forever working. He's cleansing. You are just aware of what you did. You are not aware of the other things you did, but you are not aware you did. What about those ones? Because you don't even know you did them to confess them. The blood of Jesus is cleansing you. So I bet you believe this morning, if the blood of Jesus cleanses me for sins of omission, not just sins of commission, sins of omission, things I was supposed to do but I didn't do, and also cleanses me from sins that I'm not even aware I committed them. Are you catching me? If the blood of Jesus is working on all these things, therefore, I believe that even the ones I'm aware I did, the blood of Jesus is also cleansing me from those ones. Not only when I confess them. I mean, the ones I didn't confess, he is cleansing me from them. It's the mind. It's how we are thinking. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say there is no condemnation for those who don't sin. No. For those who are in Christ Jesus. Why is there no condemnation? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. He doesn't say when you are in Christ Jesus, you don't sin. He just says you are no. Do you know what it means to be condemned? It means you're going to be executed. If you go to the court and you are found guilty, you get given a sentence. So you have to pay for what you've done. That's why they arrest you. They put you in jail. Do you understand? You get condemned because you committed a crime. That's condemnation. Condemnation is that you are made to pay for what you did. You are condemned. Some people are condemned for 10 years in prison and some people are condemned to death. When you accept condemnation, you are accepting the punishment for your sin. Then if you are accepting the punishment from your sin, why on earth did Jesus go on that cross? What was he paying? If you have to still be condemned, Jesus was condemned for you and me already. So when we do something wrong, we just admit we did something wrong. We ask God to forgive us, but we don't stay there to say, Lord, I'm ready for whatever the punishment. I'm ready for whatever you want. No, that thing, Jesus already paid for that one. That's the condemnation. He says, there is no condemnation. Like, you shouldn't find yourself in a position where you want to pay for something because you feel you did something wrong. God has to make you pay. God made Jesus pay once and for all. I'm not saying you will not make mistakes. I'm just saying when you make a mistake, don't take yourself to the cross to say, Lord, nail me. And this is how you take yourself to the cross. Hey, Lord, I don't deserve that car anymore. No, Lord, I don't deserve that nice life anymore. I don't deserve it because you say, I've done this thing and I've done this thing, so I don't deserve this anymore. So that's the man I'm trying to help you understand. That's why God says this guy should not expect to receive anything. Because already he's defeated in his mind. He's already feeling that he doesn't deserve anything from God. He knows God is powerful, but he doesn't know he deserves it. Praise the Lord. No condemnation. Therefore, you and I can decide this morning to become, you know, like beneficiaries of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because this month, if I'm going to show you how to receive from God, I can't succeed if I'm dealing with a condemned mind. I can't succeed, and the Holy Ghost cannot succeed, and we can't win if your sin is forever before you. Your sin has to be behind you on the cross of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Don't you want to just say thank you to the Lord this morning for his word that has come, for the help that he has brought to us this morning? Father, I believe your word. I believe that I am accepted in the beloved. I believe that you love me, not because I'm perfect. You love me because long before I was even good, before I ever did something right, you already loved me. And it is now that I'm even trying to get better that will you reject me? I don't think so. I believe this morning that God loves me with all his heart. The same way I'm trying to live for him, it is not so that he can love me more. It's just so I can line up with the principle of his word to be more aligned to live a life of victory on earth. Father, I thank you this morning. Father, I thank you this morning that the power of condemnation, the power of guilt is being broken in our lives. The power of guilt is being broken. Father, through the revelation of your word, as your word keeps coming this month, help us, Lord, to not disqualify ourselves from your blessing simply because we feel unqualified and we feel undeserving and we feel sinful. Father, we choose to believe this morning that you love us, that you have forgiven us, that you don't remind us of our sin. You said in Psalm 103, you will not always accuse us. So the accuser of the brethren is not Jesus, it's the devil. And we must cast down the accuser. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and start thanking God right now for freedom in the Lord that you can expect to receive from God because God doesn't see you as a sinner. Thank you, Jesus. I feel that this morning that disease must leave your body because you finally realize that you shouldn't punish. God cannot punish you with a disease because you did something wrong. I reject that mind. I reject that mind because you see, you have what you believe. If you are believing that, no, these things are like this because I'm a bad person, then you see, you have what you believe. And this morning, you shouldn't believe that God is punishing you for this or that because God already punished Jesus. Father, help us this morning. Father, help us this morning by your word. Help us this morning. Help us this morning. Let the mind of condemnation be broken. Let the mind of guilt be broken. Let the mind of trying to pay for your sins by yourself be broken. Yes, Lord. May we understand that it's really by grace, through faith. It's by grace, through faith. It's by grace, through faith. Not on our own strength, not by our own works, that none should boast. That none should boast. It's by grace, through faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I feel His presence this morning. I give you thanks, Lord. But I thank you that right now your word is working in our minds. I'm talking to you right now. Satan has really broken your confidence. You are sin conscious, not righteousness conscious. You are punishment conscious, not upliftment conscious. When you live like that, I tell you, even when something good happened, the first question is, hey, what did I do good today? Hey, I'm surprised. I can't remember what I did nice. You see, it's like you have to deserve it to have it. No. No. Jesus paid for it. This morning, by the grace of God, and this month, by the favor of God, people are going to start receiving from the Father without guilt, without condemnation, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' precious name. Now, if you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, because this is really good news, to know that Jesus paid for it all, your sins, He paid for them. That's why He went on the cross in the first place, so that you and I are no more condemned. Condemned means punished for your mistake. He got punished for it. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, thank you. That anyone hearing me right now, whose heart you attach, is getting ready to surrender their life to you. Now, if you want to give your life to Jesus, at the count of three, you can just raise your right hand. And Pastor will pray for you. God bless you. God bless all of you. Repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe your blood was shed just for me. Right now, I surrender my heart, my mind, my soul, everything to you. I believe you love me. You love me. You approve of me. You don't see me as a mistake. You don't see me as something that must be corrected immediately. You love me just as I am. And you will help me become better. In a loving way. In a patient way. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life. Oh.